Can quarterback Kyle Trask survive or even thrive in offensive coordinator Dave Canales' offense? He says he can, and one Buccaneers defender is with him. That and more on today's episode of Locked On Bucs.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into this Monday episode of Locked On Bucs, your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for always making Locked On Bucs your first listen of the day every day. And don't forget, you can subscribe for free on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow me, your host, David Harrison, at dharrison82 on Twitter. I'm a credentialed member of the media and staff writer over at bucsgameday.com. Sports Illustrated's Fan Nation site covering the Buccaneers. Here with you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for now. We will return 5 days per week in mid-July. But as always, I want to give a special thank you to our everydayers for your continued support for the show. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the National Football League. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. On today's episode of Locked On Bucs, we're talking about a position group where the Buccaneers have actually been low-key aggressive about improving it this year, and Chris Godwin's involuntary workouts. But first, the biggest concern about quarterback Kyle Trask thriving in new offensive coordinator Dave Canales' offense has been, of course, accuracy, but it's also been his mobility or the lack thereof. But one of those things actually may not be a concern after all. Kyle Trask is one of two quarterbacks fighting for the right to lead the team under Dave Canales' offense. Of course, the other one is more veteran quarterback Baker Mayfield, playing on now his fourth team in the last year or so. And the assumption, the narrative out there, including us here at Locked On Bucs, is that Baker Mayfield is going to win this job. But the Buccaneers are running this thing as a true blue competition, and Kyle Trask spoke to the media, as did some of his coaches, teammates. And look, they're not counting him out, at least from a public message standpoint, but one of the principal concerns about whether or not Trask can fully execute Canales' offense is the assumption that Trask can't fulfill some of the more mobile aspects of the scheme and what they're going to call for. Now, as Trask met with the media towards the end of last week's OTA sessions, he was asked about the differences in this year's scheme versus previous year's schemes. And it's interesting because he actually brought up the quarterback mobility question himself, saying, quote, "I would say our old scheme from the last couple of years was definitely more geared toward throwing from the pocket. This new scheme allows you to get outside the pocket and use your legs more. That's really exciting for me as a quarterback. Anytime you can get out on the edge, it's really exciting to throw one on the run or get outside the pocket and make a play or run for a first down or something like that." So that's Kyle Trask talking about his new offensive coordinator, Dave Canales' scheme, and how he kind of is looking forward to some of those things. And look, head coach Todd Bowles told the media that Kyle Trask has more mobility than he's maybe given credit for. And while Bowles didn't say it directly, I think that's aimed at media, who hasn't really given Trask a fighting chance of defeating Mayfield in this quarterback battle. And again, that includes this program as well. Well, those words that Kyle Trask just spoke certainly don't sound like the words of a man who is concerned about his ability to fulfill those mobility requirements that Canales' scheme is going to put on him. In fact, Trask had even more to say about that very topic, saying, quote, "I guess that argument about whether or not he's a mobile quarterback is so subjective depending on who you'd ask. I'd like to be labeled as a mobile quarterback. That would be pretty cool, but I would like to think that I'm able to get out on the edge and get first downs if I need to." And of course, that's what the Buccaneers are going to want to focus on, is can Kyle Trask move when he's asked to be moved? It's not necessarily that they're looking for a Patrick Mahomes type. I mean, everybody would love to have a Patrick Mahomes type, right? But when you're talking about scheme fit and scheming to your player's strengths, you scheme to what the quarterback can do. And if Dave Canales and Todd Bowles feel like Kyle Trask is able to execute some of the scheme-specific mobility things, those items may not necessarily require the freelance athleticism that we see from guys like Mahomes and Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. So while the questions about the mobility are going to continue around this battle and this conversation until at least we get to preseason, get to see these guys execute some of these concepts against live opponents, the question right now is, with all of the down talking and all the doubting and all the bench talk, how is Kyle Trask as far as his confidence is entering week three. Kyle Trask was asked about that, or year three rather. Kyle Trask was asked about that very thing and said, quote, "I'm just feeling a lot more confident as a player. I've really been dialed in off the field, whatever it is, sleeping, eating habits. I'm just really trying to dial everything in and make the most of my opportunities." As a follow-up to Kyle Trask's initial comments about Dave Canales, the offensive coordinator, the new scheme and the new system, Trask also said he likes, quote, "just how creative the offense is. I think everybody has really bought into the scheme, and I'm just really looking forward to seeing how it looks versus a defense. You see what they did in Seattle with Geno Smith and the weapons they had. I think with our weapons, we are due for some really explosive plays." So these are all things that we've kind of heard already before from other quarterbacks or from other players on the team or from offensive coordinator Dave Canales himself. But it's good to hear from Kyle Trask that he too is also feeling confident, and not only feeling confident coming into year three, but also feeling excited to come out there and execute this new system and this new offensive vision that Dave Canales has brought in with him. A lot of times when we talk about young quarterbacks, we actually use new offensive coordinators changing coaching schemes as a negative, right? It's not usually looked at as a positive. Well, Kyle Trask was brought in 2021 following the Super Bowl season to back up Tom Brady, but he was brought in under head coach Bruce Arians. And then 2022, he's got a brand new head coach in Todd Bowles. Byron Leftwich is suddenly elevated into a much bigger role of influence than he had before. Tom Brady's whole situation with the on-field, off-field, all that stuff, whether or not that had an impact inside the locker room and how much of an impact inside the locker room. And then, so you can almost call that a new offense again, because like we've discussed before, you know, we've been told that the Buccaneers offense prior to Bruce Arians stepping upstairs, much more BA and Tom Brady. After Bruce Arians stepped away, much more Byron Leftwich than before. And I think we all pretty much attribute the downfall of the Buccaneers offense last year to that switch in coaching philosophy. So then Canales comes in here. So Trask, really, if you want to think about it, even though Byron Leftwich was the quote-unquote offensive coordinator for the first 2 years of his NFL career, just because of the context and the circumstances surrounding Leftwich and his duties, this really is Kyle Trask's third offensive coordinator in 3 years, third offense in 3 years, a lot of things that have changed for him. So while we discuss Kyle Trask and his likelihood or possibility of winning the starting quarterback job over Baker Mayfield, I think we also need to acknowledge, and everybody should acknowledge, that this quarterback, again, every year in his career has gone through either changes, philosophical changes, even if they're not necessarily play call changes and language changes, but at least philosophical changes. And of course, the drama on and off the field surrounding being a backup of Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jacoby Brissett, among others, can certainly sympathize with what Trask has been through sitting behind old Tommy there until he retired. Now, you may, you know, it's one thing to hear Kyle Trask, right, talk about, look, I can make these plays, I can be athletic enough, I can hit the edge and get a first down if I need to. But it means a little bit more when you hear from one of Kyle Trask's teammates, Antoine Winfield Jr., the star safety, the budding NFL star safety, was also asked about his quarterback. And here's one thing that he had to say, saying, quote, "I would say he's smarter. I remember facing him early on. There's still some things he needs to work on, but I feel he's getting the game more mentally," end quote. And Antoine Winfield Jr. followed it up by saying, quote, "Yeah, he's a dual threat quarterback. Don't get mistaken now. He can run a little bit." And this concept of mobile quarterbacks is something that we've talked about before on this show every day, as you probably remember some of these conversations. I tend to categorize quarterbacks into three categories, right? You've got mobile quarterbacks, quarterbacks that can be mobile, and statues. Tom Brady is a statue, right? But I look at supposedly Kyle Trask, if that's the category he's in, would be a quarterback that can be mobile. Baker Mayfield is that kind of quarterback. Jameis Winston was that kind of quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not a quarterback that you wanted to just see tuck and run and take off down the field on every single snap or even a whole lot of design runs. But if he needs to take off and run, can certainly do a little bit of damage. And then, you know, again, you got your mobile quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Doesn't mean they can't throw. It just means they're deadly with their legs as well, their arms. Antoine Winfield Jr. putting Kyle Trask in the mobile quarterback category. It'll be interesting to see just how much Kyle Trask gets unlocked in this Dave Canales offense once the preseason really gets going and underway. Another Bucs player that we know can run is receiver Chris Godwin. In his second year coming back from his ACL injury, he's feeling better than ever and feels this voluntary portion of the offseason for him really isn't. That's next on today's episode of Locked On Bucs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode of Locked On Bucs is brought to you by FanDuel. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now new customers can get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. The Miami Heat evened up the NBA final series with a huge road win over the Denver Nuggets in game two, and are 2.5-point home underdogs in game three, currently with plus 120 odds to win their first home game of the series. Denver remains minus 270 favorites to win the whole thing, meaning a $100 bet right now for the Nuggets wins you $37 if they pull it off and win the first championship in their franchise's history. No matter what you bet, there's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn and get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Thanks for making Locked On Bucs your first listen or view of the day. Every day, make sure you come back Wednesday for WTSP Wednesday as James and Evan Klosky keep the conversation going like they do most weeks, and they will continue to do during the offseason. We now move to our focus to Buccaneers receiver Chris Godwin. This is a big season for Chris because most athletes who go through an injury and recovery like the one he did will tell you that it's the second season after they return that is really the one where they start to feel right again. For Chris, that is this season. And recently, again, speaking after an OTA practice session, Chris Godwin said that he feels very close to the form he was in before his injury, saying, quote, "I feel like a lot of my explosion is coming back. I feel very comfortable with the things that I'm working on. It feels really good to be able to have the opportunity to work on my skill development this offseason as opposed to just working to rehab an injury." And of course, Buccaneers fans incredibly excited to see Chris Godwin back on the field last season. We'll be incredibly excited to see him back on the field again this season if he is truly feeling back closer to 100% of the Chris Godwin that the Bucs fans and even the media, to be quite honest with you, quite kind of fell in love with during his time coming in as a third round draft pick out of Penn State and playing his way into essentially a starting role with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But on top of the fact that Chris is trying to come back fully from his injury that he suffered a couple years ago, this is, of course, a big season for the Buccaneers because they're really kind of at a crossroads here. A lot of people are expecting this team to really kind of bottom out, fall back to the bottom of the NFC, really fall back to the NFC, the bottom of the NFL. In general, we've seen them ranked 30th. We've seen them ranked 28th. We've seen their quarterback room and the division's quarterback room, then thanks in part due to the Buccaneers quarterback situation ranked at the bottom of the league, all kinds of just expectations for this team to essentially hit the floor. And really for the Buccaneers, they're at a crossroads where, again, they're going to have to figure out a way to either maintain their status as a playoff contender or potentially face a total reset that's going to include a new quarterback, probably a young draft pick quarterback, and a whole lot of overhauling of players, some older contracts potentially being moved. We've already seen a lot of rumors this offseason about teams maybe targeting Mike Evans in a trade. That's something that we have consistently refuted and said is not going to happen as far as what we're being told and what we're understanding. And obviously it hasn't happened yet. And at this point, if the Buccaneers were going to trade Mike Evans, probably would have already happened. But anyway, so they're kind of at this crossroads, right? The Buccaneers need to either figure out a way, and Todd Bowles and Jason Light need to figure out a way to keep them in the postseason conversation, or essentially face a potential full reset rebuild that's going to last probably a year, maybe 2 years minimum, I think, before you can really expect this team to be back into the contending category again. That future, of course, is going to be determined by players like Godwin himself and the coaches, like new offensive coordinator Dave Canales. And as we talk to these offensive players, we're going to get more questions and answers about offensive coordinator Dave Canales. Here's a little bit of what Godwin had to say about his new OC, saying, quote, "I like him. I really do. I think the first thing that really comes to mind is he's a very smart guy. You can tell that he, one, really loves ball, but he really knows what he wants to do in terms of installing the offense and attacking the defenses. He's a teacher. and he wants to effectively communicate that it's been working so far. End quote. Now, Godwin also went on to kind of praise Canales for his approach and his ability to talk to these guys and teach these guys without necessarily becoming a yeller, a screamer, right? And anytime I think of a Buccaneers coach becoming kind of a yeller or a screamer, I always go back to Greg Schiano and the dumpster fire that really was that experience. Now, Godwin also talked about the importance of him being at OTAs, and he really kind of says for him, it really wasn't a voluntary situation, that he kind of felt like he had to be at OTAs because of the changing offense, but he's also taking more of a leadership role here in his seventh NFL season. It's amazing to think that Chris Godwin is in his seventh NFL season already. And according to his teammate and quarterback, Kyle Trask, that's right, it's a very Kyle Trask heavy episode. Kyle Trask said, quote, "I think that's huge," he said, about Godwin's presence at OTAs, not only for him, but also the locker room, because he's been such a great leader for us. What he has done here, winning a Super Bowl, and for him to still be here during OTAs shows a lot about his leadership. We really respect that. End quote. And yeah, you know, I think that's something that's important here for Chris Godwin's development and the continued development of this team as, again, they continue to try to strive to maintain their playoff contention status within the National Football League, is having that kind of mindset, that go-to-work mindset. But Trask wasn't done talking about his receiver continuing and saying, quote, "It's also really huge for the young guys to see someone of his caliber still coming to work in the middle of the offseason trying to get better. It's really an important thing for the young guys to see. You have all the success that Chris has had and still try to get better." End quote. I think personally, this part is really big, right? And I don't know that it's going to get the attention that it really deserves. But I think during this type of year, while we try not to really overblow anything or overblow about anything, leadership is big, especially in performance-based businesses, where you have a competition level that pits you up against a direct adversary, right? Like AT&T and Verizon are opponents and they're performance-based businesses, but they don't actively, well, I guess commercials you could say, but like Verizon's not breaking into the AT&T factory and destroying product. But guess what? The New Orleans Saints defense is going to try to break into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense and destroy their offense. So that's the kind of direct adversary I'm kind of talking about here. And while coaches and front office personnel are certainly important leaders, players, I think, are always going to lean on other players more than there are their coaches and their front office personnel, especially when conditions get uncomfortable, like, I don't know, being a team ranked at the bottom of the league or your division. So like Trask said, if someone like Godwin can come out and give his all, give 100% after tearing his ACL, winning a Super Bowl, getting a second contract, all these things that a young guy like Trey Palmer and the other young receivers are trying to get, minus the injury, but working through the injury, then they really have no excuse to. Like Trey Palmer can't come out there and be like, "Man, it's really hot. I just don't feel it today." And then look over and there's Chris Godwin, the veteran who just tore his ACL 2 years ago, won a Super Bowl, got paid on a second contract, giving his all, right? If you're Trey Palmer and you see that happening, you have no choice. You got to go out there and get it done. And better yet, they have direct motivation to do it because you're now watching number 14 out there doing it as well. So again, not really something we can quantify, right? Like I can't tell you, well, 20% of this win in week three is going to be from Chris Godwin's presence during OTAs. But I do think that it is something that is important for Godwin himself, for young receivers, the other players, and the Buccaneers as a team. So special thanks to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers PR staff for providing all the quotes included in today's article. But also a special shout out there to Christy Ackert of Tampa Bay Times, who aggregated a lot of these quotes into a great column on TampaBayTimes.com that you should all go read if you haven't already. If the Buccaneers are going to surprise everyone this season, we all agree, I think, that the pass rush needs to get better. And while the Buccaneers weren't aggressive in a lot of places this offseason, that's one area where I think they low-key were, and that's coming up next on today's episode of Locked On Bucs. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Bucs, we're going to discuss an area where the Buccaneers were low-key aggressive this offseason, in an offseason where the perceptions that they weren't really all that aggressive couldn't really be all that aggressive because of cap situations and roster balancing and all that. But I do think that they were actually fairly aggressive in a certain place, and that is their pass rush. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are essentially completely rebuilding their pass rush, and fortunately for them, the three most important players to doing that, to rebuilding that pass rush, have been present at OTA practices, specifically D defensive tackle Vita Vea. He's got to be the most important part of this rebuilding of the pass rush. And Todd Bowles said about Vea's presence, quote, "It's big. They've got to develop some camaraderie, obviously. You've got speed and power, and you've got a power guy. It'll be different for them to learn under each other, but to have him out here and those guys learning from him is great," end quote. But obviously, Vita Vea can't do this by himself, right? We saw it last year. He was the team's leading sack getter and all these other things, and the pass rush still at the most critical times in the season and some critical points of games just wasn't where they wanted it to be. So Todd Bowles, general manager Jason Light, the Bucs just in general, they set out this offseason to improve the defensive line specifically because that defensive line improvement is going to impact the ability of the entire front seven, Shaquille Barrett as he returns, Devin White as he gets ready to come back for mandatory minicamp, we assume, Lavonte David returning for at least another year, and then the other linebacker position, Joe Tryon Chwainka, of course, you got Anthony Nelson out there, Yaya Diaby, whoever it is going to be rushing off the edge and up the middle from these linebacker spots. If the defensive line is more effective this year than it was last year, they're going to find a lot more success. So one of the things that the Buccaneers did is they went out and they signed former Los Angeles Rams defensive lineman Greg Gaines, and then they drafted Pittsburgh defensive line Kalijah Kancey. Now, that's only two moves, right? That's only two really supremely impactful moves, right? But you have a first-round draft pick, and you have a veteran free agent brought in to really kind of take a starting role on this defense. But Kancey is kind of the biggest question in this whole thing, right? So Bowles said this about Kalijah Kancey. He said, quote, "It can have a huge impact," Bowles said, "about Kancey's skill and the potential he has to impact trench play. You get more tackles for losses, which means you get less runs and you get more passes. We're trying to play on that side of the ball more. In the past, we've been bigger and heavier and stouter. Now we have some stoutness and we have some explosion up there. If these things can happen, it frees up everybody else." That, again, is what Coach Todd Bowles had to say about Kalijah Kancey, the first-round rookie's potential impact on the defensive line. And I think that's really important because we do see a little bit of a transition from like an Ndamukong Suh, Will Golston, and Vita Vea defensive front to having a little bit, there's still a little bit of size up there, right? But it's mostly explosiveness, like Coach said, and a lot of burst that's going to hopefully impact the pass rush. And the more that the defensive line can impact the pass rush specifically, the more those linebackers will be freed up to eat as well. Now, the question is, how much are you trying to gain in pass rush and sacrifice in run grade? Well, Vea and Gaines both graded in the 50s in run defense, according to PFF. But Vita Vea tied for second in the NFL with just one missed tackle. And this is among defensive linemen who played at least 206 run defense snaps. So while Vita Vea played 206 times against the run, he only missed one tackle, which is pretty stinking good in my book. Gaines, by the way, tied for 19th place with three missed tackles. So between the two of them all last season, four missed tackles. Now, every missed tackle is bad, but four I think you can live with. So even though the run defense grade is fairly low, if teams are having to run through these two guys who tackle pretty consistently, I think the Buccaneers will be okay if Kalijah Kancey can come in and provide some of that impact that Coach Bowles was just talking about. Best I can tell, their grades really suffer for PFF because of stops, which PFF describes as plays in the run game made that would constitute an offensive failure. For the most part, you're talking about third down stops. Now, I don't know about Gaines specifically because I don't cover the Rams and I haven't gone back and watched 17, 18 games of Los Angeles Rams football. But if you're running against the Buccaneers on third down, who are you likely to run at the most, Vita Vea or anybody else? I think you're most likely going to run at just about anybody else other than Vita Vea. Now, I don't have those numbers. I don't know how many times opposing offenses ran against Vita Vea on third down versus running at Will Golston or Akeem Hicks or anybody else for that matter. But I'm pretty confident that if we were to go back and watch all the third down snaps and all the third down runs that the Buccaneers faced last year, a lot of them are probably not going to Vita Vea. Or if they are going towards Vita Vea, so are about three offensive linemen to just force him out of the way, which if I'm grading something, I'm not going to hold it against Vita Vea that three big offensive linemen or fullback or whatever came in to push him out of the way. In fact, I might even give him a good grade because that just shows the impact that he can make. So the presence of Kancey, the presence of Gaines, along with Vita Vea's return, rotational use of Logan Hall, and then you have the other depth players as well on that defensive front. If it all goes to plan, it's going to help free Vita Vea up for more plays, especially in the run defense, which is going to raise his grade. But it's also going to free up those linebackers again. And the better the line plays, the better the linebackers play, the better the secondary will perform because they have less time that they have to cover these receivers because rushers are getting home a lot faster, right? That's at least the theory. It's trickle down defensive line economics, and the better the safeties play, corners, linebackers, it helps the defensive line as well, up and down the defense and back. Meanwhile, Vita Vea was top 20 among defensive linemen who had near or as many pass rush snaps as he did in 2022. So if Gaines can improve at all in that category, not really known as a great pass rusher, but he'll be playing a little bit of a different role, different responsibility for the Buccaneers than he did for the Rams. And if Kalijah Kancey again can come in and make a rookie impact, that's really the biggest question mark, I think, at this point in time. But if that unit's performance can get better, then the entire defense should get better. So being a little bit aggressive in the right place, of course, they have to gel. They've got to come together, and they've got to get their performances in sync. And that's what OTAs, minicamp, and training camp are all about. And Wednesdays are all about James Jarko and Evan Klosky coming together, joining forces to tell you all of their thoughts, opinions, analysis, and news about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you've got questions you want to ask them, leave them in the YouTube comments or email them to LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks so much for making Locked On Bucks your first listen of the day every day, and for making us a part of your day, part of your routine. If you have anything else Tampa Bay Buccaneers related you want to know or discuss, make sure you're following us both on Twitter. I'm at dharrison82. James is at jarko_bucks, and the show is at Locked On Bucks. Until we speak again, be kind, be safe, fire the cannons, and I'll see you next time for another episode of Locked On Bucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.